Good evening, everyone. What a joy to be here tonight, especially after having been blessed with the opportunity to witness the rebirth of our new brother, Aaron Baez. It is always a joy and it is always a spiritual feast when we get to see the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ take effect in the lives of those whose faith becomes obedient by following the commandments that he has instructed us to follow. You know, it's interesting and it is amazing that as our brother came to me, he told me that he said, I've been trying to see if I could find another way. I've been trying to look for other roads and other routes. But after having studied and with this morning's lesson, I understand there is only one way and there is truly only one route that leads to salvation. What a joy to see God's word once more have the power to convince, to convict, and to lead us to obedience. If you are visiting us this evening, if you are here with us tonight, we thank you. You are our esteemed guest, and we hope and pray that you will stay a few minutes afterward. To our brethren who are here from this morning and have returned tonight, thank you. I'm encouraged by your presence, and we, of course, are always rejoiced together to be with one another. And if you are not able to join us this morning, but you are now here with us tonight, welcome. We missed you this morning, and we thank God that you were able to come with us tonight so that we can together rejoice for the honor and glory of our God. The passage has been read. So if you will bow with me in prayer as we get into our lesson tonight. Our precious Father and our beloved Lord, hallowed be thy name. We come before that throne of grace, Father, not only to honor thee and to glorify thee, but, Father, we approach with love as thy beloved children. We strive to stand before you without shame, and we strive to always be imitators of thee as beloved children, to walk as Jesus walked, and to follow and emulate the life of Jesus, Father, that pleases and honors you. Father, at this time, as we learn about the perils of selective hearing, allow us, Father, to put on hold any thoughts that may want to impede us, that we may put on hold, Father, the issues of this earthly life so that we may fully focus on the issues of the spiritual life, the issues of eternity. Be with this thy servant. Allow me, Father, to speak as thy oracle. And Father, furthermore, grant me the boldness and the strength so that I may abide in thy word and that thy word may abide in me. Forgive us when we have sinned against you. Forgive us for our transgressions. We pray this, Father, in the precious and mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've already stated this evening, we have entitled our lesson, The Perils of Selective Hearing. And, of course, it is important and it is necessary to understand what does it mean to have selective hearing? Well, for those of you who are parents, very likely you have a better understanding of what it is. Because you give your child an instruction, you give them an assignment, but then they either don't do it because they didn't hear you, or at least they claim they didn't, or they only do the part that is easy to do because they didn't hear you to tell them to do all of it. In Romans chapter 10, pay close attention to the fact that in this chapter, Paul, in a way, addresses this issue with the house of Israel. They had a selective hearing problem. And what we mean by this and what we establish by this is that when someone suffers from selective hearing, what we are essentially saying is that it is not indeed a true problem, not at least physically or physiologically, but we're saying that people have the problem of picking and choosing what they choose to hear and what they want to hear. You see, in Romans chapter 10, we've already read from this morning in verse 3 that the Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness, meaning they were ignorant of his plan of salvation. They were ignorant of the role that the law of Moses was going to play in this plan of salvation. But the reason they were ignorant was not because God had not declared it to them. Take, for example, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and forward. God clearly, through the prophet Isaiah, was telling them that from Jerusalem, salvation was going to come forth. Jesus, speaking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, revealed to her and affirmed what Isaiah had said when he told her the salvation is of the Jews. Not of, as in it belongs to them, but from, if you will, as in it will come from their seed. We see once more that they also had Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 and forward, where God spoke about a new covenant. And he spoke about how this new covenant will no longer be written on tablets of stone, but rather that his law would be written on the hearts of men. And then in Daniel chapter 2, we see that God reveals through Nebuchadnezzar's dream that there would be a stone not cut by hand that would come in the times of these kings, and it would be an everlasting kingdom. But once again, the Jews had these prophecies. They had these scriptures, and they could never put everything together. This morning we mentioned the fact that one example of their selective hearing was their rejection of Isaiah 53. The fact that they did not accept that Isaiah 53 was a messianic prophecy. They misinterpreted it, or they put their own interpretation to it, because it was not convenient for them to read or to realize that the Messiah, their long-awaited warrior king, would be defeated in death, that he would be conquered, that he was going to be sent specifically so that he can bear our sins on the cross. Their selective hearing, brethren, is indeed brought about in this chapter. And it's interesting because when we read chapter 10, we often go to verse 17. We often like to quote verse 17 to prove where faith comes from. But if we read the context, pay close attention to the fact that the Jews, even though they heard, their faith, instead of growing or manifesting itself, it did the opposite. Well, why is that the case? How is that possible? The Bible says that by hearing the word of God, there comes faith. Why then was there not faith coming forth from the Jews who heard the word of God? Well, because they chose to hear what was convenient to them. It was selective hearing. So as we begin our thoughts this evening, as we take them from Romans chapter 10, keep in mind what Psalm 119, 160 says, and turn with me very quickly there. Psalm 119, verse 160. The Bible says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Do you remember what the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders there at the Isle of Miletus? The Apostle Paul declared to them that his conscience was clear because he did not shun to reveal to them or to declare to them the whole counsel of God. In other words, Paul did not leave anything out. He did not hide anything from them, but rather he gave them everything just as the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him. Here in Psalm 119:160, we see that it is the entirety of God's word that is true. It's amazing when we read this section and we're reading it in the book of Psalms because of the fact that the New Testament had yet not been written. David, who is inspired to write this acrostic of love, had not yet the whole counsel of God, and yet what he had at the time, he knew they still needed all of it. They needed from Genesis to this point in his life. So the perils of selective hearing, brethren, begins when we don't have the whole counsel of God. When we only pick and choose, we select what we want to listen and hear, and we choose to ignore that which is true and also part of the whole. You see, the Jews, as Romans 10 teaches us, were selectively choosing what they wanted to believe in. They did not want to accept that salvation was also for the Gentiles. They did not want to accept that the purpose of the law had already been fulfilled in bringing forth or being our schoolmaster in bringing us to Christ. They did not want to accept that Judaism was no longer valid and was no longer in effect. They did not want to accept any of these because they chose to turn a blind eye to the areas that they didn't want to convict them of their sins. The scripture reading that we chose, we see that if our gospel is still veiled, if it is already still covered, if it is not being understood, well, pay close attention. It is veiled to those who are perishing. Not that the devil, right, as we want to always provide that interpretation for it, not that he is forcefully blinding them and not letting them see. No, it's that they are choosing to listen to him, who, like at the beginning, told Eve, "It is not so. You shall not die." You see that? So when we begin to selectively hear, to pick and choose what scriptures I'm going to obey and what scriptures I'm not going to obey, one of the first things that happens is that I'm not going to see the whole. I will not understand the whole, and therefore very important elements of the entirety of God's word is going to be missed. Very important information that is pertinent to my salvation is going to be missed. And because of it, I will then fall into disobedience. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. First book of Samuel. Who better than the example of a man who did this and insisted that he had done everything that God had told him? 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Beginning there at verse 10. The word of God says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told to Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Saul selectively heard, didn't he? But in his selective hearing, he rejected the whole counsel of God. The Bible continues, verse 14. But Samuel said, "What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." How convenient. The disobedience was the people's fault, but the obedience was my good leadership. He selectively heard what Samuel had to say even now. Even in this moment, as Samuel is beginning to admonish him, he is only hearing, and what Saul was hearing is, the people were disobedient, but I, as king, did my part. I told them, Samuel, but they didn't listen. You know what part Saul was missing? You're the king. You're the one in power. You're the one whom God gave the command to, and you're the one who was given the strict commandments of kill everything and leave nothing alive. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." But did Saul listen to what Samuel had to say even then? We can continue to read, but I encourage you to read at home because of our time. But pay attention to the fact that Saul immediately forgot what the commandment was because he only heard what he wanted to hear. Brethren, in the world today, these denominations and these false religions that are around us, in fact, those who claim not to be religious and decide to live their lives as they do, they only hear what they want to hear. The atheist who wants to accuse God of being unrighteous and of being unfaithful, he only hears the negative about God. The skeptic who believes that the Bible has contradictions, they only hear those things that they claim and believe that are a contradiction. But pay attention to the fact that even those who are zealous, like the Jews were, the zealous Baptists, the zealous Pentecostal, the zealous Muslim, the zealous Catholic, do you know what they all have in common? that none of them hear the whole counsel of God. They only hear what is convenient and what they want to hear. And because of this, they are no different than the Jews, because they heard what they wanted to hear. And therefore they ignore the righteousness of God. They are ignorant of God's righteousness. And because of this ignorance, they do not practice zeal according to knowledge, but rather, instead of practicing God's righteousness, they establish their own. This is very dangerous. You see, we too as Christians must be careful that we too are not only hearing what we want to hear. You know, when we are on the pews and the preacher perhaps is stepping on toes and we're nudging the person next to us, hey, that's for you. You're not hearing the whole counsel. Even if you're not guilty of it, then use it for yourself and to remain in that status of innocence. So pay attention, brethren, that selective hearing is dangerous because it blinds us. It blinds us to the whole counsel, and when we miss that information that we miss will then lead to disobedience, as it did in the case of Saul. But then, as we return to Romans chapter 10, we see then that selective hearing is also dangerous. It is lethal for us because it then breeds or brings forth defiance in us. No, you said, I heard you clearly, you said only to cut the front yard. You never said anything about the backyard. Why don't we apply a spiritual application? No, the Bible never says not to use instruments of music. But the Bible also doesn't authorize the use of instruments of music. But pay attention to the defiant spirit when someone who is accustomed to hearing only what they want to hear, they defend themselves. You know, my family, my sisters and my cousins, I don't know if this is a Honduran saying or if this is just a saying from my family, but they say that when a child is rebellious and defiant, trying to defend himself, trying to make sure and trying to say, no, you said this, I know you said this, they're like a cat who is on its back with its claws out trying to defend himself. Brethren, we become defiant. We become defiant, and in our defiance, we are accusing God of being a liar. In our defiance, we are accusing God of being the one who is in the wrong. Turn with me to Matthew. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says in regards to the scribes and the Pharisees, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 1, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. How many times do we read in the four gospel accounts that they wanted a sign from Jesus after he had already given them one? In fact, when we read this passage, the first 15 chapters, how many signs had Jesus already done in front of them? I encourage you to go home, read the first 15 chapters, write the miracles and signs and wonders that Jesus had done before their presence. And you will see that Christ, time after time after time, had proven and had confirmed with the power of the Spirit that he had been sent by God. So why were they still seeking for a sign? Notice verse 1. The Bible says in their language, their semantics, what they were asking by testing him was, show them a sign from heaven. What is the implication there? Oh, these magic tricks, this power that you are using, that isn't from heaven. You're using some other power. And another occasion, they accuse him of using the power of Beelzebub, remember? But notice the defiance in them, the refusal to accept, the rejection, the utter rejection of accepting that they did not hear the whole counsel as they were supposed to. No matter how often Jesus quoted scripture to them, no matter how often the Lord demonstrated that he was indeed the Son of God, no matter how often he described and explained and exegeted scripture correctly, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were the leaders of the people, refused to hear what Jesus had to say. Oh, when it was in their convenience, they heard him gladly. If the instructions were to how to heal them, say, of leprosy, they heard him gladly. If the instructions were to how to eat bread when they had none, they heard him gladly. When it was convenient, their hearing was perfect. But when it was inconvenient, or when it was not favorable, well, then they questioned it. And then when they were disobedient and it was brought out, well, you never said that. That's not what you said. I remember what you said. You know, God, you never said that the Gentiles were going to be a part of the gospel plan of salvation. They had the prophecies, remember? We've already quoted some of them. They had the prophecies. But they were not listening to what God had to say. Their hearing was selective. Brethren, many times when we are guilty of this, we become defiant. We become defiant because we try to justify our actions. We become defiant because we're trying to defend ourselves because we refuse to take accountability and responsibility for our sinful actions. And this defiance is another way of saying we become proud and we become impenitent. All because we choose to refuse to acknowledge that I chose not to listen, that I tuned you out and I stopped listening after this point that no longer was important to me. In Romans chapter 10, Paul brings this up. Paul, in fact, brings up the fact that they had heard the gospel through Isaiah. He quotes, yet again, Isaiah 53 as an example that they refused to take and accept that it was a messianic prophecy. He quotes the part of the prophecy when it says, "Who will believe my report?" So brethren, as we see the perils of selective hearing, we see that, number one, we miss important information. And because of that, we become disobedient to the commandment. Number two, we become defiant after we've been called out, after we have been asked about why did we not fulfill the whole counsel of God. But turn back to Romans chapter 10. And let us read the very last two verses of the chapter, verse 20 and verse 21, which will bring us to point number three. But Isaiah is very bold and says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel," he says, "all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." As you've noticed, perhaps, as we've been progressing our lesson tonight, each danger, each peril increases more and more in intensity. It begins because we miss information and not have everything complete, therefore we are disobedient. But then we decide to defend our disobedience by trying to place blame upon God, by claiming that he didn't say that, that he didn't explain it to us, that he did not mention the part that we did not obey. But the worst peril of all, as we are reading here at the end of the chapter, is that it hardens our heart. It has the potential to harden our heart. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Pay attention to the warning given to us by the Hebrew writer. And personally, I would love to read the entire chapter, but like I had mentioned about 1 Samuel 15, I will now say about Hebrews 3, I encourage you, I implore you, read the whole chapter. Because the entire chapter is a warning against selective hearing. Or as the Hebrew writer would say in chapter 5, becoming dull of hearing. But in chapter 3, pay attention to verse 12 to the end of the chapter. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why could they not enter in? Because they would not obey. Why wouldn't they obey? Because they hardened their hearts. But was it that they did not hear? They heard. But they only heard what they wanted to hear. Where God gave a commandment, Israel heard a suggestion. Have you ever been guilty of saying this as far as the speed limits on traffic? Well, it's a suggestion. The speed limit is a suggestion. It doesn't say that I have to go that fast. It's only suggesting that this is the best speed to go. Try that with the police officer when he pulls you over. And then call one of our elders for bail money when they take you to jail for your defiance. You see how the most dangerous of the three is that final one that Paul describes in Romans 10. God had called them with his stretched arms all day long, says Scripture. And they never came. Till this day, today in 2025, those Jews who still reject Christ and his gospel, they still do not come. They still hold that Jesus of Nazareth is not the Messiah. They still hold that the throne of David will indeed be reestablished in Israel at Jerusalem. Because they're not hearing God's whole counsel that the kingdom, the throne of David, has already been established. And it is the one and true church that Christ built on the rock, that is to say, the truth that Peter spoke. They refuse to accept. And therefore they want to make their way the way. But that hardened heart leads to death, as you see in Hebrews 3:16 through 19. This morning we ended with Proverbs. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is death. The problem with the Israelites, as Paul is addressing there in Romans 10, is there's no way it could have seemed right because God was telling them it's wrong. God had given them specific instructions where to go and where it would lead. We've already quoted some of the scriptures. In fact, in Galatians 3, the Bible tells us that God preached the gospel to Abraham when he gave him the promises. When God told Abraham, in your seed all the nations of the world shall be blessed. He was letting him know that it was through Christ that the world would then be blessed. The seed that would come from Abraham. But the Jews refused to acknowledge this. because they were persistent in saying, you never said that. You never told us that. You see, brethren, even when we preach the whole counsel of God, there will be those who only hear what they want to hear. But we have to beware that we are not one of those who only hears what we want to hear. Sometimes we need to hear that we're wrong. Sometimes we need to hear that if we die in our sins, we will regret it eternally. Sometimes we need to hear. We need to be corrected. We need to be reprimanded. We need to be rebuked. But when we do hear God's word do such things, beware lest we harden our hearts like Pharaoh did when he heard God's word. So as we now reach the conclusion of our lesson this evening, Romans chapter 10 indeed talks about the perils of selective hearing. You see, yes, faith comes by hearing the word of God. But when we talk about hearing the word of God, we're talking about a humble, meek, and reverent hearing of God's word. But it is the whole counsel of God that we have to hear, not only parts and bits of it, not only choose and pick and select what part I'll hear. Because notice our world today. They hear that God is love, but they do not hear that God is also righteous. They hear that there is a heaven, but they will not hear that there is also a hell. They hear that God will save the obedient, but they refuse to hear that God will punish the wicked. And the more they defy God's commandments, and the more they insist that God never said such things, although we find his whole counsel in the palms of our hands, the harder our hearts become through unbelief. And it could be that if we remain in that way, Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5, lest you repent, you will, not you may, you will die in your sins. Friend, we don't want you to die in your sins. This morning, Aaron decided to make a U-turn. He decided to stop driving before it was too late, and he decided to follow Christ. He decided to turn around and turn away from his sins and to begin to drive and following the Master who knows the way that leads to salvation. Tonight, you can do the same. Tonight, we need you to listen to the whole counsel of God. Don't just hear that God will forgive you of your sins, and don't just hear that you have an opportunity at salvation. No, hear that you also need to repent and turn away of your sins. That you have to confess Jesus as Lord if you believe with all of your heart that he is indeed the Son of God. And then you must put on Christ through baptism, where you will lay to rest the old man who is now full of sin. Leave them in the watery grave of baptism, to which then you will rise to a newness of life, so that you may walk according to the Spirit and no longer according to the flesh. If you are subject to our invitation tonight, won't you come forward as we stand and we sing?